Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Mickey Boisard. Hey, thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'm going to answer some of the most asked questions I received via email. Questions like, how much food is appropriate for my dog? Or how often should I feed my dog in a day? And I'm also going to say a few words about feeding cats, since I even get cat email. So we'll be right back to answer a lot of those questions and more with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. You know, I receive a lot of email asking various questions, but mostly I'm asked the same 10 questions. You know, they usually are the same type of thing, nothing new, nothing exciting. And the one note I'd like to mention before I get to the questions is that your dog is probably the main one you should be checking in with concerning his food, or even your cat. You know, the great thing about dogs is that you see changes happening very quickly, as most of us know. And if you monitor them, you can see if the food you are giving them is working out or not. It usually takes really less than about 48 hours to see a change with the food in a dog. Sometimes people are always amazed at how quickly animals can change. They might stop itching a little bit. Their eyes might stop running. And so a lot of that is important to pay attention to. And one way to see if your dog is changing is to photograph him from a couple of angles. Because we see our pets every day and we may miss the subtleties, like they may be gaining or losing weight and we don't notice it. So I suggest when you first start feeding your dog a more natural diet that you take a photo of him every 2 weeks. You know, keeping a journal is also a good idea too. And before you groan and think, oh, who wants to do that? That's like a real hassle. You know, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. A few pieces of paper in a folder is really sufficient. I prefer that anyway, because when people go out and they buy a journal and they do all this stuff, most of the time they never go through with it and they've spent money on something like that. So if you did not continue with the journal, then you wouldn't feel bad if it's just a few stolen pieces of paper from your kid's homework assignment or something and putting it into a folder, then that's a cheaper way of doing it. So you take your dog's photo and you put it on the first page along with the notes that you might be making on what you are feeding him for that week. And if you have a scale or you know his weight, since you might have been to the vet recently, write that down too. Write down his weight at that particular time. Also, make a note about his fur and the conditions of it. Is it dry? Is he shedding a lot? You know, shedding is a whole question in itself, and I'll answer that in a future podcast. But really, most dogs and cats should not be shedding excessively. And I know there's a whole industry built around shedding, but really, they should be almost shedding like you shed your hair. We do it on a daily basis. And so it shouldn't be an excess. If it is, then you really need to up your dog's fish oil or your cat's fish oil. Also, what is your dog's poop like? I sure hope that you've become a poop checker. You really need to do this. It's very important to do that when you are feeding your dog naturally. You have to check his poop. Sorry, that's just the way life is when you own a dog. You want to see what's coming out as just as you want to see what's going in. And how it's coming out on the other end is very, very important. So also make some notations about his health in general. Does he have bad breath? You know, there's different kinds of bad breath, and I'm always a stickler at smelling a dog's breath because that tells me a lot about what's happening in the dog's stomach, how things are, if he's got a fermentation going on, which means that he's not digesting his food properly. The breath is going to be the first thing that's going to tell us that. And he could just be dry mouth. It could be windy like it is here in Arizona today, and it's real windy. And so I've noticed that although my dogs are not big water drinkers, they've been drinking an excess amount of water since we went for a walk this morning. And so checking his breath and making a notation of that is real important. Does your dog have runny eyes? A lot of small dogs have this condition, and people think that that's pretty common and natural, and it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. So real runny eyes might indicate a lot of problems. It could also link up to the liver. The eyes and the liver kind of go together. Does your dog have hot spots? You know, those are real important to pay attention, and those are usually related to diet. Also itching, allergies, paw chewing, turning his paw over and just working on the paw. That's a sign of maybe a grain allergy or something. So those are really important things to mark down. And also, does he have gas? You know, if your dog has gas, or maybe you like that the fact that he has gas so you could blame it on the dog all the time. But if he has gas, then that needs to be written down because we want to make sure that that goes away after a period of time. So then 2 weeks later, you can take another photo and then redo your list as you survey your dog. Just go through the same list and check it out. And this way, your journal will be kind of a proof of any changes you might see right away. And it's not only encouraging, but it is usually the turning point for most people because they see these changes pretty instantaneous. They get excited. And they see that their dog can change just by changing the dog's food. Now, a lot of the things that I tell you are not appropriate for your dog because that's why I suggest you talk to your dog. You need to pay attention to your dog and find out what works for him and what doesn't. And when that dog passes on and moves into the big dog heaven in the sky or wherever it is, you know, when you get another dog, you're going to have to start all over again. And that's the appropriate time to start a journal, is when you actually do get a new dog and see the big changes. And keeping a journal is proof of what you've done. It also helps with bad memories, and it keeps you moving forward with all the efforts that you put in to keep your dog healthy. Okay, so on with the first question. What are the best grains to feed your dog? Well, you know, once again, a lot depends on your dog, and it will depend on his health, how old he is, etc. But to keep it brief, let's say the dog is healthy, he's not overweight, and he's middle-aged. So you have your choice. Some of these are not grains, and I hesitate to always spend a lot of time on grains because people will get real heavy into grains. Some of the whole wheat, ground whole wheat or whole wheat products are okay if the dog is capable, is a healthy dog, but it has to be a full grain whole wheat product. It can't be just something that you find at your grocery store that's ground up and processed. But I prefer oatmeal, quinoa, rice, barley, beans, potatoes. In the potato family, you want more color. Whatever the color is on the inside is real important, like a purple potato, a gold potato, a red potato. Those are less starchy as something that might have a white content inside. So obviously, some of those are not grains, and those particularly like beans, but they can fill in for grains. And also seeds, like sunflower seeds, can be sprinkled on your dog's food and add additional fiber to their diet. And the trick to grains is to make them real mushy. You know, while cooking, add more water than the recipe calls for, since dogs do not digest grains very well. And since they are not concerned with presentation or how the food looks, then making things runny or mushy is the way to go. You know, even pastas are important to go past that point that you might eat it and make it a lot softer, a lot mushier, because it's very important to pay attention that you're giving your dog more water into the grain, so that makes it a lot more acceptable in his body to digest it. And with quinoa, it is super important to cook it well and add more water than called for. When I was in Ecuador, quinoa is their main staple. And even there, they cook it at length. You can walk past areas, restaurants or whatever, and you can see a big pot of quinoa just sitting there for hours and hours. And they're breaking it down. Even they give it to their pets. That's a real big staple for their dogs. So that is really the main thing about grains, is if you're making them yourself, you're soaking them, you're giving it a lot more water and making it a lot more mushy. Okay, the next question, how many times a day should I feed my dog? Well, have you asked your dog? And what's going on in your life? Like, do you work all day? Then that leaves out feedings in the early afternoon. But if you work and you leave early, then I would suggest feeding half your dog's total intake before you do leave the house, and the other half as soon as you come home, so he has time to digest the food before bedtime. You know, you really need to fit this into your schedule, into your lifestyle. That's what's important. Hopefully, you and your dog get together on that, but you know, if you are working, you don't want to add more problems and not do this. I'd prefer that you fit it into your lifestyle and do it the best that you can. So the timing has to work for you. And I'd also prefer at least a minimum of 2 times a day. Smaller meals are always best. And it also depends on the size of your dog. But, and how much exercising you're going to do for your dog, or when he does exercise. So if you're working at home or you're just at home, then feeding him when you eat is better. I prefer sitting down with my dogs and I have lunch and I give them lunch. And it's kind of a pack thing. And I think that that is real important. And dogs generally like what you eat. And that doesn't mean you're going to feed them everything that you eat. But if you have something, you have a picky dog, a finicky dog, if you put it on a plate that's on the table and you give it to them off of that plate, boy, you'll see them scarfing it up because they thought you ate it. And the next question, how much food is appropriate for my dog? You know, that's a loaded question, and I get that one all the time, because once people are starting in on doing natural food for dogs, they get a little concerned because they don't know if they're obviously feeding their dog too much or too little. And we have been fooled by the commercial dog food companies because they put the little thing on the back of the bag that says 25 pounds equals to 1 cup or a half a cup or whatever. But that doesn't make a lot of sense. If you know, I've seen 25-pound chihuahuas that should be 15 pounds, and people are basing everything on the fact that the dog is 25 pounds. You know, we got to use a little common sense here. You got to look at the fact that what size is your dog? Is he overweight? Is he underweight? The health of him, is he constipated or is he generally in good health? And any other health problems, those all fit into how much food and what kind of food, obviously. And very importantly, how much exercise does your dog get? You know, I hear people telling me they have a big yard and they just let their dog out the back and that's his exercise. I don't think so. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen a dog take himself for a walk around the backyard. And a lot of behavior problems come from the fact that that's what a lot of people call exercise. So, you know, it's kind of like common sense with feeding your dog. One day it might be raining and you're staying around the house and your dog's just kind of hanging around and he's sleeping a lot. And that day, maybe you're not going to eat as much. Are you going to actually eat 3 big meals a day if you're just sitting around reading a book or sitting by the fireplace? I know that there's probably a yes to that answer for some people, but maybe you got to stop and think about this. Or the next day, maybe you're industrious and you and your dog go for a 4-mile hike or something. Or another instance might be UPS coming and going and the rug cleaner coming in and there's a lot of action, or maybe you're remodeling your bathroom and there's a lot of added stress to the dog's life that day. So all of these things kind of fit in together because it all depends what's happened with him that day. When I take my dogs if it's a cooler morning and I take my dogs for a longer hike, they obviously are ravenous when they come home, and so they eat more. And on other days when I'm real busy or I'm gone and they're just laying around, they're going to obviously be fed less. And that's pretty much the best way I can put it, to tell people X amount of cups per day is not going to work. You're going to end up with a dog that's either obese or underweight, because I don't know what your lifestyle is. So it really comes down to your lifestyle, using common sense, just as you would be doing for your own food intake. So when we return from a break, and I'll talk about feeding our beloved cats. So we'll continue with questions on pet food right after these messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Muttropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City. with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City. Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. You know, a lot of questions I get are on obese cats. Most of these cats are indoor only, and they are probably bored cats, cats with not a lot going on in their life, not much adventure. So why not eat? You know, like there's the dry food sitting there staring them in the face. Also, somehow improving your cat's environment is the ideal thing. If you live in an area like I do where there are a lot of predators and your cat is safer indoors, and also if you have a backyard or a patio or a deck, I've seen this in condos also, purchasing a cattery is a great idea. Now, if that's out of your budget, which a cattery the size that I have, boy, I have no idea how big it is, but it's pretty large for two cats. It runs about $450, but it's all put together by the company and it's shipped. That includes shipping. But you can also buy these, go online and buy these building ideas of how to create your own cattery out of maybe found objects or something. So look into that online. You might be surprised how inexpensive it is. And you put ramps and toys in a cat box, and I put cat greens, which are really important for cats that are particularly indoors, because cats really do like to eat grass. They go in and they get a lot of nourishment from grass. It's also important that they're able to get a place where they can get some vitamin D, some sunshine, and dirt. You know, cats really clean themselves with dirt. I don't know if you've ever seen a cat outside, but they, as soon as they hit the dirt, they roll over and start cleaning themselves. To a lot of people's chagrin who might have a white rug, but, you know, when you have a cat or a dog, I don't know what you're doing with a white rug. But my cats roll in the dirt, and you'll see a big change in your cat's behavior. Maybe he won't be so bored. Now, the other thing on feeding cats is the endless supply of dry food. I don't recommend just like a little feeding trough. I don't know whoever came up with those feeding troughs, and they're great for when you leave for a couple of days, but this is not something that a cat should be getting all the time. You know, when a cat takes a few morsels of dry food and he's real bored and he goes over there and he just grabs a few morsels of dry food and then jumps off and walks away, he has to start his digestive system all over again. That's kind of like me telling you to go out and start your car, you know, about every 10 minutes and just leave it running for about 5 minutes and then turn it off and come back in. Eventually, you're going to build up some carbon and you're going to have your engine's not going to appreciate this. So it's kind of the same way as with your cat. They continually do this day in and day out throughout the day. And this is not, I don't consider this to be a healthy way to feed your cat. You know, a better way is to just leave enough dry food out that he will eat it in one sitting. Now, that's going to take discipline on your part, and it's going to really probably piss your cat off. As we all know, cats don't like changes, but give them just a, you know, you can give them some more later on in the day, and they eventually will learn that they have to eat what's there, and then they're going to have to wait. But making them go through that change is real important, and it's really much healthier for them. You know, I've worked with a lot of shelters, and at some of the shelters I've worked with, I have suggested feeding the cats in the evening when everybody's gone, because it's a lot of stress on the cats. There's a lot going on. You can do that during the day, or you can do 12 hours with the feeder there and then pull the feeder away 12 hours, like when you go to bed, or vice versa, whatever works out for your lifestyle. but give some at least 12-hour break in between. You know, if you see a cat in the wild, they're just laying around until they're hungry, and then they go out and they kill something and they eat it. But they don't eat for hours or days. Big cats will, if they eat a deer, that's satisfactory for almost a week. My cats really enjoy their main meal while they're in the cattery. I don't know why. They really scarf everything up. It's probably just the outdoor air and everything, and they feel better about themselves. But they climb up the ramp, and I have the food at the very top of the ramp. So cats are very routine, and they don't like changes, but making one change at a time is also offers them something to be on guard for. You know, they might just start getting into the idea that every week you're going to make a new change, and it works. It just kind of depends how much effort you want to put into it. And improving your cat's food also is a must. You can listen to one of my previous podcasts on fish, and that applies to cats too. And I think that that's really something that needs to be added to a cat's diet, and that will keep them from the fat in the fish oil, will keep them from really spending a lot of time eating dry food. So the last question for today is, what kind of bones do you recommend for dogs? Well, the kind that I recommend are really big bones. I don't care how small the dog is or whatever. I go for the big knuckle bones. I do not go for the rib bones because they're real soft. I don't go for too many other bones. I always look, you can usually find these in the frozen section, like big, huge soup bones, they call them. Sometimes they appropriately call them dog bones, but a lot of times you can buy big soup bones and they might have some meat on it, and they're raw. And it's raw versus cooked, always raw, never cooked, never taking it off of your plate and putting it onto your dog's plate or on the floor. Because after you cook that bone, you've changed the molecular structure of the bone and it becomes brittle and weak. Now, another way to keep your dog, even if it's raw, I've seen dogs just tear a bone apart because they're kind of greedy. They're a lot like us in that way. And they may think, well, she's not doing this too often and I'm going to just chew the heck out of this bone. So the best way to give your dog a bone that I recommend is taking it and putting it down for about 10 minutes at a time. And you need to supervise it, particularly if your dog's never really chewed on bones before. And all of a sudden you start up with the raw bones, and of course you're probably going to have to cover the floor or whatever if it's a lot of blood on the bones. But putting it there for about 10 minutes and then taking it away. Now here's another surprise that you might find your dog doesn't want you to take it away. That's kind of interesting. Right there is when you find out whether your dog really considers you to be the alpha dog, the alpha person in the family, because if they growl at you, they generally do not believe that you are alpha. And so I always tell people, this is where you don't stop. If you go to reach for the bone and the dog growls at you, don't stop and back off. Kick the bone out away from the dog and then grab it and take it out. I've seen people do this even with big mastiffs, and it might be a little scary, but if you kick it away and you tell them no, they really have to start respecting you. And then the next day, you do it all over again. So the idea is to do it for about 10 minutes at a time. The good thing about bones that I always tell people is really good, besides the fact that it's great for their teeth and their gums, but also it's kind of like their glass of wine at night. It's a stress reliever. My dogs, all four of them, have their little bone fest every night about 8 o'clock. It's just, you know, pretty much right on the dot. And they take their bones out and they sit there and they all kind of chew on them individually. And then they stand up and everybody changes like musical bones and they move on to the next one. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, they're all passed out, sleeping on the floor. It relieves whatever stress they have. And that's all you want a dog to do with a bone. You really don't want them to tear into it. And a lot of times when people just leave a bone around for a dog to just chew and decimate right there, that's when the dog gets sick off of the bone. That's just too much intake. And then people say, oh, I, you know, that didn't work for me. My dog got really sick and I decided that natural food for dogs is not good for them. So anyway, that's the last of my questions for today. We'll do another podcast. We have, you know, a half a dozen more questions that are commonly asked on a daily basis. So I'm out of time, and I want to thank our producers for making this show possible. And you can go to my websites, dogchefdetective.com or dogchefs.com. And if you'd like transcripts of this show or any other of the great shows on the Pet Life Radio Network, you can go to petliferadio.com and you can click on the Pet Chef. You can also send me your questions or comments to Mickey@petliferadio.com. So until next time, bon appetit.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.